morning. The scripture today is going to come out of the book of James. James chapter 1. Probably hit four or five verses beginning with verse 1. Let's pray. Yahweh, we thank you. God, this morning, we honor you collectively as a group. We honor you as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We honor you as the head of our households. We honor you as the one that forgives us and redeems us, that your mercy and grace is renewed every single day. God, I know that we need your mercy, and I know that we need your love, and I thank you for your compassion and your peace and your strength that you give each one of us. Lord, today I pray that the word will come forth, that it will help us individually and collectively. It will inspire us. It'll strengthen us. It'll allow us to live before people, that they'll see that we live a different kind of way, that we can be that peculiar people that you tell us to be. And God, when people ask us about our faith, when people ask us how we handle each situation differently, Lord, I pray that we will always point back to you and your goodness and your faithfulness. You are exactly who that you say that you are, Father, and I thank you for that this day. We consider these things done. We love you, God, and we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 1. Love the book of James. You can summarize the book of James with probably just a few statements. One being my favorite verse later on when James says, "Listen, you show me your faith without works," meaning you show me what you believe without doing and living what you say, and I will show you what I believe by how I live, by how I handle situations. The old school people say talk is cheap. It takes money to buy land, meaning that you and I can say anything, we can pretend to be anything, but when push comes to shove, when we handle situations, when we handle adversity, and even when we handle good things, promotions, raises, when we handle money coming in that we didn't expect, those different situations, the way that we handle them can really speak to people in our lives. I know a lot of us, probably all of us, have invited people to church for weeks or months or years, but if we can live something before people, because people are always watching, people are always considering how you handle it. When Brother Kevin gets a promotion or a big job or a big contract, it's easy for everybody to say, no wonder he's so happy. No wonder he's able to talk about Jesus because he's so blessed. But what happens when maybe bad news comes or adversity comes? How does he handle that? And it's in those times as well as the good times. I'm not somebody that believes that woe is me and a Christian should have their head down and scared about the next adversity. The Bible calls you and me more than overcomers. The Bible says that you and I have the power that Christ Jesus had when he raised from the dead. The Bible says that you and I are no more the borrowers, but you and I are the lenders. The Bible says that you and I are the heads, no more the tails. You see, there's something that the devil and the enemy has tried to beat us down with, and that's to make you and I feel like we're not enough or we don't deserve. The one thing the enemy is right about is you and I do not deserve the goodness of God. You and I do not deserve the love and the compassion and the favor of God. But when God came in and said, listen, there's a problem, there's a situation, it's going to take the blood of my son. And once he decided to send Jesus so that you and me could be redeemed, then when the enemy says you and I don't deserve it, that it's a lie from the pits of hell, because God said that we did. God said that you deserve grace instead of torment. God said that we deserved mercy and love and compassion instead of judgment and instead of all these negative things. And if the Father of light, if the Father of all good and perfect gifts says that you and I deserve compassion and mercy and love, then this day let's believe what God the Father says. Let's see, we have a choice to make. We can believe that what the enemy says, or we can believe what God says. And I promise you, it's in your and my best interest to believe what God says. And if God says it, then that should settle it. And James, I believe above anybody, as he was going through life with Jesus, as he was going through trials and tribulations, in James chapter 1, I believe he's given us an amazing word of wisdom that I probably read thousands of times, and it wasn't until this morning that it really stuck with me. So in James chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like how he starts it off talking that he's a bondservant of God. But later on, he'll go and say that there's freedom in Christ Jesus, that there's freedom of God. Your Bible may translate that bondservant as a slave of God. What James is trying to relate to you and me there, that if you can be a slave or a bondservant of God, then there's freedom inside of that. It's not about the restrictions, it's about the opportunity. It's not about God saying, don't do this and giving us a set of rules. It's about us having every opportunity and freedom in love. It might be the same in your relationship. I don't remember yesterday morning Alex telling me who and who not to talk to. I might have told her that yesterday morning, messing with her about something. But in my relationship, she doesn't say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this before I leave for work in the morning. She may say, I love you. I may say, well, she definitely says, I love you. And I'm really bad about yelling, I love you, from a different room. I'm working on that right now. I'm not perfect at it yet. But most of the time, more times than not, I try to get a hug, a kiss. Nothing more because I got to get to work. But I try to do that. I try to do these things in order for me to show her one last time before I go out for, you know, several hours that, hey, I love you. Not because I feel condemned if I don't do it, not because I feel less than, not because it's some rule book I have to check off, but because that's what's in my heart. And that's the same thing that God wants you and I to do. He doesn't want us to pray before we go to sleep at night because we think he's going to hurt us in the middle of the night if we don't pray, or because we're not going to get good sleep. I know for me personally, even recently, I've had like a book or a checklist that I go down with God to make sure that I do this, that, and the third. And there's nothing wrong with being disciplined, but it's the motive behind the discipline that counts. My love for my wife, Kevin's love for his wife, is what should keep him in the middle of the day instead of some kind of rule book. My love for my kids is what should make me want to work hard for them. Not because I feel like God's going to hurt me. Love is the greatest of all. And if you and I can learn to be in love with the one that knew no sin yet became sin so that you and I might be the righteousness of God. If we can fall in love with the one that has eyes like as a fire, that's what'll keep us. That's what'll help us. That's what'll strengthen us. Very recently, one of the brothers in the call sent me a message that he was riding down. I think it was 75 or one of the interstates. And he had prayed to God, like Joshua, when Joshua had asked God, my Joshua, not the Joshua of the Bible, although he's just as anointed, but separate story. But anyways, he had prayed that God would show him a sign in the clouds, like our 11-year-old little son. And he shared with me how he prayed this, and yeah, he kind of believed it, but when God did it, it was amazing, and nobody else knew about it except him and God. Those are the times that we can really depend upon our relationship with God and grow with God. So James says, and we'll just start over chapter 1, verse 1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Verse 2 again, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What's the very first thing that you did, last time a trial or a temptation came your way? What's the very first thing I did last time adversity came my way? I know you can answer it for yourself. I'll answer it for myself. I absolutely got terrified. I was scared. I was nervous. I wanted to fix it. Because last time I had a big temptation or a big trial, I had a girl at work that's like my little sister come to me and say, listen, they found two spots on my breast. And it absolutely shook me. It's easy for me to pray sometimes for people that maybe I don't know as well or I don't interact with as well. But when the eyes of a young lady that I've known for 15, 20 years look at me with fear, looked at me scared, my first response was I was terrified. Now, I thank God it didn't take me but about 20 or 30 seconds to gather myself and the Spirit of God to come out. But I think back to that situation, and James tells you and I to count it all joy when various trials and various temptations come our way. And the word there in the Greek is a beautiful word. I'll try to pronounce it, but I'm going to butcher it. It's some word like hamagotia, something like that. But the word means not only to consider it, but it literally means to command. To command a thought with authority. It literally means to take the trial or the temptation and to command it in a place or a seat of authority to be into subjection to the greater truth in your life, in my life. When I'm practicing with my little volleyball ladies, we did just win the county championship regular season. Now we're going for the county championship at the end of the year. Go Warriors. When I teach them to play volleyball, when they're getting excited and the ball's going, there's a big rally going back and forth, back and forth. I've got a few of them that they have good fundamentals, but when they get excited and when they get nervous and when they sometimes maybe it's not the way they planned, they'll come out of their what I call their platform. They'll come out and they'll get swirly with it and start throwing their arms and their hands in different ways and in different locations. And the result is never, ever good. Maybe one out of 10,000, it's a good result. But when they stay disciplined, when they stay unafraid, in other words, when they consider that they've put the work in, when they consider that if they'll do it the way they've done it, if they'll do it the way that their instructor or their teachers taught them to do it, then the result is really, really good almost every single time. But it's the ones like my daughter and Maylee and Brentley, the ones that have did it tens and tens of thousands of times, when they don't get worried that the ball's coming to them again. They don't get scared that the ball's approaching them because they know that they put the work in and they trust the process. In other words, they're commanding their bodies and their mind to line up and to do exactly what they know to do because the pressure's not too great. They're not worried about mama and them in the stands. They're not worried about their grandparents in the stands. They're not worried about the kid that may run across the floor. They know that if they will count to themselves, one, get in their platform, two, bend their legs, three, do what they know to do, they know that the result will come because they've trusted the process. How could you and me learn? How much more can you and me learn from these little 9 and 10 year old little girls that have done it tens of thousands of times? What if you and me, when we fall into various temptations and various trials, we literally count to ourselves, one, Jesus died for me. Two, he's never let me down. Three, his faithfulness is good time and time again. Four, I've seen him do it in my own life, so I knew that he could do it in my coworker's life. Five, what if I celebrate before I see the manifestation of what God's going to do? Because I can testify that my coworker no longer has any problems with two lumps on her breast because it was the goodness of God that saw her through and saw me through. What if I could count to myself and believe like these 9 and 10 year old little girls that God did it again and again and again? What if I could look at the victory that he's brought in my life, the victory that he's brought in my wife's life, and allow the love of God to so consume me that I'm not worried about the temptation anymore? I believe when James was telling you and me to count it all joy. Yes, I believe that he could possibly be talking about put things in order with a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kind of order. But I believe after this morning, more than anything, James was telling you and me to not sit in a seat of defeat. He was telling you and I today to command that thing. He was telling you and me that the God that sent Jesus to die for us is the same God that sits on the throne today and tomorrow and forever. He was telling you and me to allow the love of God, the anointing, the power, the authority of God to so come up on the inside of us that that trial or that adversity was no more a trial or an adversity. It was an opportunity. He was telling us to command the trial to change into an opportunity for the goodness of God to shine through. James was telling us to count it absolutely. But he didn't want us to stop at counting. He wanted us to count it all joy. The Bible says it's the joy of the Lord that gives us strength and that makes us overcomers. It's our attitude, how we handle the adversity. It's our attitude, how we handle the disappointment. But on the flip side of that, brothers and sisters, in closing today, it's not always just about the bad things. God doesn't want us to only think about the bad things or the time the enemy's throwing fiery darts at us. What happens when we get that promotion? Or when God somehow, some way sends us money or allows somebody to sow seed into our life, he wants us to consider that and to count that as all joy also. He wants us to know that he's there to help us and not just our pastor or our elders or whomever it may be. He wants you to know that it's you. He wants you to command that authority. He wants you and I to know today that it's you that has that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. If I have a word for anybody today, is to let you know that you're important. You're just as anointed as me or Alex or Kevin or Steve or Sherry or Sharon or whoever it may be. He died for you as much as he died for me. Your life looks different than mine. So what? He still tells you to sit in a seat of power, to sit in a seat where you can handle the adversity. That when somebody comes your way with an adversity, that you can remember those 9 and 10 year old little girls that get excited and mess up sometimes. But you can also remember those that have trusted the process. I encourage each one of us today to trust the process of God. What is the process of God, Brother Allen? It's to get in this word and to find out what he says about you. It's one thing for me to tell you what he calls you, but when you understand he's called you daughter and that he's called you by name and that before he formed you in your mother's womb, that he had a plan for you. And not only a plan, but an expected end, meaning that he set it in order for you and for me to do it a certain way from before our birth all the way until we get to him in heaven. We serve a good God. We serve a God that wants us to call him Abba, which is Father. We don't serve a God that wants us just to call him, oh God, who art in heaven. He wants us to call out and say, Papa, I need you. We serve a God that's telling us today to count it all joy. Allow your joy to conquer the trial. Allow my joy to conquer the adversity. And at the end of the day, when the trial and the adversity comes, because it's going to come, he doesn't want us to be scared of it. When Jesus was in the boat and the storm came, what was Jesus doing? He was asleep. And he got upset with the disciples that they didn't handle the situation. What do I believe the disciples should have did that day? They either should have rode the waves and enjoyed everything, or they should have told that storm to be quiet. Yes, you do have the power to tell that storm to be quiet. Yes, you do have power that God has invested on the inside of you to tell those kids to be quiet and to follow the order of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, you have that kind of power on the inside of you. Yes, you do. The enemy's a liar. There's no truth in him. You have the power to tell your marriage to be calm. You have the power to tell finances to follow me. I'm not following you anymore. You have the power to tell people to be healed because the Bible says that the very shadow of Peter would heal people, that handkerchiefs that he touched would touch them. And you and I are under a greater time period. We are under a greater dispensation. Jesus died and he went back to the Father and he's praying and making intercessions for you and me forever. Brothers and sisters, we can count it all joy. God has given us the ability to do it. We just have to take that power and seat of authority. And that's something that you can't do for me and I can't do for you, but I can encourage you. And I can tell you the times in my life when trials and adversity and good things come, and I sit there and say the enemy is a liar, and I watch the faithfulness. When I watch the faithfulness of God time and time again, then it lets me and it allows me to stand a little taller in that seat of authority. I was recently reminded, me and Alex were talking, a week or so ago. And when Alex was pregnant with Isabel, I think it was, she had a cyst or whatever. I think it was Isabel, yeah. And the doctor was so concerned with it, to the point that this might be weird, but he even called me in there and other doctors to see it because it was so large and all these things and blah, blah, blah. And it was so bad. And when they were concerned that they were going to do certain things for the delivery because if it burst, the blood was going to be so much and, you know, all these just negative things. And when Alex went into labor and the first time the doctor checked her, the cyst came out completely. No blood, no damage, no absolutism. Man, you're talking about seeing a miracle. Man, I got to count it all joy that I forgot to pray about it. I got to count it all joy that I forgot to ask God the Father to be good because that's all he knows how to do. I could sit here all day and tell you stories of time and time again. I've seen God's faithfulness. And the reason I believe God allows us to see his faithfulness is to allow us to consider it and to command the trials and the tribulations to cease and to stand back and watch God do what God's going to do. You have authority and you have the anointing in your life to be victorious inside of Christ Jesus. James said, I'm a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the freest I've ever been. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you. I thank you that inside of you there is freedom and there is joy and there is love. I thank you that inside of you we're not bound by restrictions and rules, that Yahweh, we are committed to you. And when we fall down, Lord, pick us up. And God, I thank you for the pickup. And I thank you for the seat of authority that you've revealed to us today. I thank you for the revelation that when we count it joy, Lord, it's not just about numbers and making sure we consider. It's about commanding and authority. God, you are good. Yahweh, you're exactly who that you told us you are. And this day, we say yes to your authority. We say yes to considering things. We say yes to counting things. But more than anything today, we say yes to telling the enemy to fall back in the name of Jesus. We say yes to calling blessings forth to our families and to our coworkers and to our bosses and to our leaders. We say yes to a good economy. We say yes to your favor. We say yes to your revelations. We say yes to your love and mercy and grace. Today we consider and we count your goodness to be exactly what you told us it would be. And we thank you for your faithfulness. We consider these things done by faith. We love you and we honor you, God. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.